This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We have been jacked up for 2 days waiting on this phone call to talk to our buddy Austin Eckler. He is presented by IT Cadre, trusted insight from trusted insiders, presented by IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective, and our insider with that insight every week during the football season is Austin Eckler, who was on the field and making blocks during one of the great plays in team history. Austin, wow, what a win for you guys on Sunday.
Man, oh man, you said it. You said it. That was an incredible moment to be a part of, and you know, just something that I will never forget out there in the DMV out here in this area. So I'm so excited to have been a part of that for not only our team, but as I continue to learn more about kind of the history of what this team's been through over the past few years, it's just great that we're bringing some new energy to the DMV area.
When did you think it might get caught, and when did you know it was caught?
I mean, I'm not really even looking down the field, right. Really. I'm just looking to make sure Jaden has time to throw the ball. Let's keep these guys off of him. And then obviously, you know, as I see the defenders looking up and looking at the ball, then I start to look for it. And then we can't really see from our angle that we were at because there was just a big ball of people jumping up in the air. And so we see, obviously, the ball of people go up. We see the ball get tipped. And then we can't even see Noah back in the back catching the ball, but we hear everyone going crazy. So we assume, like, someone, like, fell with it into the end zone or something like that. And, you know, the thing that I distinctly remember and I will always remember is the eruption of roars in the stands and how it just was – it was so loud, it was almost even just like an energy. Like, it was just – I just felt like I was a part of this big ball of just loud, passionate, you know, energy. And then all of a sudden I see everyone running off the sidelines, flipping up their headsets and towels and everything. And, man, it was something that definitely got me emotional because I was like, wow, like this, all of this just happened in this one moment. It was pretty cool to share. So, yeah, wow. If anyone, it's been all over the place. You know, we keep seeing it. I keep just continuing to be like, every time I see it, I just get excited all over again. So, pretty incredible.
Austin, pretty incredible. Cheesy alert here because this will be a little bit cheesy, but I guess two-parter. Number one, I've been going to games at that stadium for 25 years. That's the loudest I think I've ever heard it in terms of the pop, like the moment. I'm not saying that there weren't elongated cheers or, you know, if you had like a meter to measure, it hasn't been louder. But what I call, like in the Royal Rumble, when the music hits and your favorite wrestler's coming out and the crowd goes crazy, that initial pop, like that pop when he caught it, if there was a roof, it gets blown off. But the cheesy part is, I mentioned this yesterday, I want to get your thoughts. To me, only sports can do that. If there's other areas of life, I haven't experienced them, but 50,000 strangers watching one thing, all together being kind of overcome with that joy where it's like, you know, we've heard of uncontrollable anger at times or whatever, that uncontrollable, where's a stranger, let me hug them and kiss their cheek, joy. Like, sports, right. Man, what else can do that?
Well, I don't know. I've seen some of these Taylor Swift concerts. You know,
that might be close. You're right.
You know, it's going to be a different tone of a pitch. You know, it's going to be a little bit higher pitch. But, you know, who knows? But, no, you were 100% right. Like, sports is definitely one of those where it didn't even matter. Like, it was cool watching the videos of people that even were at the stadium that were at, like, sports bars. You know, they'd show, like, the footage of like the sports bar, and then like everyone's just hugging everybody and just cheering and jumping around and just enjoying the moment. And so yeah, it's great that we're enjoying some of these moments out here because this city has definitely deserved that. It's been long overdue.
Your perspective on the play: you get the initial block on 95, like a traditional chip, helping out 73 Trent Scott, and then you stay over on the left hash, and you eventually They were spying for some reason. They rushed three, but like 53 was floating around on the logo. You end up getting in his way at the tail end there as Jaden hitches and throws. I mean, it was 13 seconds. Like, what's going through your mind as he's running around and you're trying to keep him
Are you like, throw the ball, dude?
Yeah, but the only thing in my mind is do not get sacked. Like, give us a chance. And, I mean, if you heard any of his interviews after the game, that's exactly what he was thinking, too. Like, let's just give the guys a chance. And so, hey, he needed some time to buy to get let guys get down there and get set up. And, you know, fortunate for us, they only really rushed three. And like you said, 53 was just kind of spying around. So it allowed us to have three double teams. There's six of us blocking three people. So we can block them pretty much all day. Well, at least enough to get the ball off, you know, 12 seconds. We could have gone longer. But it was enough for him to finally, yeah, my head is just like, come on, Jade, throw it. Finally, you know, gave it a heave.
Austin Eckler with us here on G&D. So, Austin, seems to me, again, just watching at home, like Chicago was really concerned about you in the passing game. I felt like they were, whether it was shading your way or trying to take some stuff away, because I don't think they felt like having you catch a ball in the flat and go for like 13 or 14 as you've been doing all season long. Did you get that sense that they were really concerned about limiting you in the pass game?
Yeah, well, I don't think it was necessarily them limiting me in the pass game. I think it's just their defense that they play. I think more so them than any other team we've really played so far. Like, they really want to just sit in their base defense and play to their rules, as opposed to, you know, maybe blitzing a little bit more than some teams do, or maybe doing some five down looks. We saw just traditional, pretty much four down looks all day. Couple of blitzes here and there, but really, hey, there's always going to be someone matching you to the flat, where some teams might be like, hey, let's actually slough off a little bit and cover the deep route, maybe it's a deep over or the deep corner, and then let them catch the check down, and then we'll come up and make a tackle, hopefully at 5 yards is some of the philosophies. But yeah, they were like, hey, you got the flat, you are in the flat. Mm-hmm. And there was no slough off or no kind of variations that we saw in their defense. It was just kind of line up, play it, and play it sound. And that's been working for them. Like, they're a solid defense. As we knew going into that game, and because they are sound on their technique and their fundamentals, and typically come up and make the play. So for us, we knew it was going to be a grind. It didn't need to be as bad as it was for us. You know, we had a couple big penalties that just like illegal man downfield that we got to get cleaned up. And obviously we have some things that we can clean up here and there, but especially those two penalties that it's literally just, all right, if we don't go down another yard, we have a touchdown or we have a run inside the 5 yard line that definitely makes that game a little bit different as we go in there. But that's football, you know. You go through it, you learn, you adjust, and try to get better for the next week.
Yeah, Austin, pretty much the only thing offensively that you guys aren't doing at a fairly elite level is red zone. You're ranked 24th. Yeah. And that, to me, seems like there's been just penalties and little things that have happened, more so than maybe anything else, execution-wise. But you tell me where you're at on the issue in the red zone, or if it's an issue, and like what you see there when you watch the tape?
You know, we obviously want to score down in the red zone. I mean, that's where the good teams are able to separate themselves, especially later in the year. So one thing that I think I want to see us get better at is continue to be able to run the ball in the red zone. I think that's what statistics has shown over years, is teams that can run the ball in the red zone typically have more success of scoring points. So not saying, hey, let's take it out of Jaden's hands and throw it, but us as runners, and me selfishly as the running back as well, want to see us get into the end zone as well. So that's something that I know we're thinking of. Look, we understand where we're at with the red zone. We got to get it figured out, and that's our job to do that. So we're going to go forward, put a plan together, and then see if it works this week.
So speaking of Jaden Daniels, when did you guys know for real 100% that he was playing, and when did you suspect he might be playing?
Shoot, we never really knew. I'm like, thank goodness we don't know, because we got people like yourselves out asking us all this stuff, right? And I don't want to be like, oh, Austin said. Well, no, Austin didn't say anything because he doesn't know anything, you know? So for us, it's just kind of like, hey, whoever's up, that's who we're going to roll with, but we're ready for both, you know? So for us, it didn't really matter. We had faith in both of our guys, and obviously Jaden was able to get out there and play.
Trusted insight from Trusted Insiders, presented by IT Cadre. Austin Eckler is with us here on Grant and Danny. When you found out he was going to play, at that point, do you just assume he's 100%, it's normal? Because we're all wondering, all right, is he just going to stay in the pocket? Like, the third play of the game, he keeps a read option. And I'm like, oh, we're doing this thing. Like, he is fine. And it never really seemed, I know he got some treatment on the sideline, Austin, but it never really seemed like he was bothered.
Yeah, you know, he's a competitor. I think as he'll continue to learn, and just, you know, me as running back playing in this league for so long now, like, you're usually always dealing with something. There's something that's achy or bruisey, making up new words, bruised or something, like, it's a little strain here and there. Like, the NFL is bruised. That's why we only play 17 regular season games, right? Because just the bodies can't really handle that much more. And so, you know, he's going to have to continue as a competitor to push through and show that, yeah, he's meant to stay in this league. And especially a quarterback, you want to have a 20-year career like some of these guys are looking like they're going to be continuing to have. Like, you're going to have to find ways to stay healthy, find ways to battle through some wounds, find a routine for you that gets you back and ready for the field. Because him, especially as a runner, he's going to be taking some hits that maybe some of these other guys don't. But he's going to have to learn how to take those hits, when not to, when to go out of bounds. And look, he's still a rookie, so he's still got a lot to learn, but he's off to a good start so far.
Austin, for you guys in the run game, like, you and Brian Robinson are such great compliments for each other. How do you kind of prevent teams maybe from sitting on certain things? I guess what I mean is, how often do you have to do something to show it just so you can run a counter later on? Or, you know, are things getting called to your strengths or Brian's strengths? Walk me through how that relationship works, and then kind of how the play calling is going to work to either set things up or have the most success.
Yeah, I think actually, you know, you said some great things in there, and I think it's a little bit of all of that. Like, some plays are more schematical, where it's like, hey, we're going to run this play because we have a pass off this play, or vice versa. We're going to run this run play because we have a pass that looks like this. And so you set up different schemes, and typically you have players that you want to put in certain positions in those schemes that you think will have the best success. Sometimes you have just specific plays where you're like, we want to get this guy in space and let him just go and make a move and get open, you know, go. I think, you know, something that you see with us is Diami, you know, he catches a lot of those bubble screen type things, you know, or like, we like this guy in space. And so for me, I've been a screen guy for so long, catching so many screens in my career. So getting people in space where it's just like, this play is specifically to get you the ball in a specific way, is what you're going to see. So you're going to see a lot of schematics about it, but then also seeing plays that are specifically for guys to use their talents in the way that they're able to use them, you know.
Austin Ekeler on Grant and Danny. I'm sure you've seen the viral clip of Tyreek Stevenson. It was jawing at fans at the start of the Hail Mary play. Would you say anything to him as a teammate after that play, or do you just assume lesson was learned, he's already embarrassed enough?
That's a great question, because it's tough, because, you know, he's going to learn that lesson through all of the hell he's going to get from the media, from the fans, from the comment sections, like, for a long time. Like, that's not just everyone forgets about that this weekend. Like, that's going to be on your profile for, I mean, I don't know how you live that one down. Like, people are just going to remember you for that staple play, because it was such a massive play in a game. And the rookie showdown, right? And so, do I talk to him about it? I think I would just let it, you know, just let him do his thing. You're like, look, man, you definitely learned the lesson. And no, he came out and apologized. So he clearly is feeling the heat from other places. Like, how many guys come out and apologize for things? You know, it's not very typical. We got guys apologizing now for how they played, which is typically not a thing that you see happen, meaning, okay, yeah, he understands that he shouldn't do that. So I think he gets the point.
Austin, just, I want to go physically here. How are you at this point? Like, you the pace is good. Like, I would love for you to get more touches, and maybe you would too, but you guys are, you know, there's a conscious effort, it seems like, to keep you fresh and ready to go, you know, deep as they're going to need you in December and January and beyond. How are you feeling physically at this stage?
Yeah, man, body is continuing to feel well. You know, with kind of a committee that we have going on with Brian, myself, and Jeremy McNichols, it keeps us, I mean, as fresh as a relative term, because you still take some hits that, well, no, one hit is enough to, you know, put you in the training room. But for the most part, it's limiting the contact that we're having. We're able to stay playing at a high level, and that's definitely been a benefit for my body over the longevity of the season. I know we're not even halfway. We're just at the halfway mark, you know, this next game. So, the fact that I'm feeling like this at this point in the season is a really good sign. And I know, you know, for other guys, if they're feeling the same way, that's what we want to keep. We want to try to keep up this level of play, and also this level of consistency with our bodies also staying healthy. Because, yes, regular season is absolutely important, but now you're talking postseason as well. You want to make sure that you can have enough juice left in the tank to get you through that as well. So there's a moderation. We're fortunate to be in a position to have that, honestly, because it's not always like that.
Austin, we will end the conversation with our IT Cadre fan question of the day, and we've got a question from L.A., who I guess was watching the Lions game, and David Montgomery had running back getting to throw a touchdown pass because he wants to know, have you ever thrown a touchdown pass? Is that something you've pulled off before and could pull off?
Well, you see, I've had shoulder surgery on my right shoulder, which is my throwing shoulder, so my accuracy and my strength in the throwing motion isn't the best. So, or maybe I'm saying that because I want to throw off our opponent next week, and I'm going to throw. I don't know.
Exactly.
No, I've never thrown one before. And, sometimes coach will draw up a play where it's like, hey, we're going to try this one. And you might practice it a couple times, and it might get thrown in, maybe not. But who knows? Who knows if we'll have a double pass in our bag. But I wouldn't say it's probably from me.
unless it is.
Right. Austin, thank you as always, unless buddy. Talk next week.
Yes, exactly.
See you, bud. Thank you.
Man. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You got
good
it. Work. There's Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny, our weekly appointment with him. Always thoroughly enjoyable. Loving having him on the show. IT Cadres, trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose.